Good morning, church. A great joy to be with you this morning. Please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. The title of the message this morning, Encouraging the Discouraged Believer. God willingly, next week we'll look at Exodus 32, where we say, warning the discouraged believer against false gods or idols. For this morning, encouraging the discouraged believer, 1 Kings chapter 19, and we will read from verse 1 to 18. It reads as following. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so may the gods do me and more also if I do not make your life as life of the ones of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Bethsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, Lord. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel enticed him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, enticed him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went into this, and he went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Herob, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing there, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throwing down your altars and killing your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, that is God speaking now. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore a mountain and broke into pieces and rock before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped himself in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed the prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left and they seek to keep my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Assyria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abel Mamelam, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escaped from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, church, we do live in a time of great discouragement. It is easy to be enthusiastic at one time and find yourself discouraged at the same time. You may wake up in the morning filled with great joy in this life, but then go back to bed at night with great discouragement, great fear, and spiritual torments. Because there are so many voices during the day that comes by. The question is, which voice is worth our listening to? Where I come from, we have a saying which says, "Kusinza takalvadlwa." That is Swazi. What does that mean? It means that a fearful and coward person is most likely to avoid danger. A fearful, coward person is most likely to avoid danger. And we know that is true. Because if you will act brave and involve yourself where you're not supposed to be involved, or you act in a way where you should not have acted, but so that you prove to be brave, if you do like that, you are most likely to put yourself to death before your dying time. So in other words, there's a time where fear is actually good, but there's a time where fear it is not good, because fear can be also misplaced fear. Having fear for something you should not be fearing. We all fear a lion. If a lion may come now, stand out there and roar, we might all faint to death. But this is another thing to hear a lion's roar on a radio and you faint to death. That is misplaced fear. Not that fear is not good, but misplaced fear can also be torturing. And I think that is a very kind of a situation, or we find ourselves in a similar position or situation where we are in our text. We have Elijah, the servant of God, who has performed so great miracles before God, but now Elijah received a message. He hears a voice, if you will. He received a message that a woman called Jezebel wanted to kill him. And this man of God ran for his life. And after he has ran for long, this man began to pray. And we know it is good to pray, but this man prays wrong. He prays to die. That is what fear does. It leads the man of God to pray, but to pray for death. And it's funny, friends, that this man, listen very carefully, he's running for 27 kilometers, running away because someone wants to kill him. Yet, when he finds a place to rest, he prays to die. Why run away from death if you still pray to die? Fear, discouragement, cause confusion. That is what we see here. So this man was consumed with fear, and that became so dangerous to his soul. Fear is very dangerous unless it is the fear of the Lord. So the point of this sermon, just to be clear with you this morning, is that there are times when Satan seems to be on the driving seat, when Satan seems to be in control, but we need to learn to hear God's voice in every situation. And there are three voices that I want us to look at this morning. Three voices that I want us to learn from this morning for our own edification. Because I believe that we hear these voices each and every time as believers. Firstly, the terrifying voice of Jezebel. Secondly, the destructive inner voice of fear. Thirdly, the comforting voice of God. Let us look at the terrifying voice of Jezebel. We see that as we read from verse 1 to verse 8. I will not go there, we just read. But that's what you find in verse 1 to verse 8. To give you a little bit of a context as we go through here, there was a king who was not man enough, a king who could not lead or exercise leadership without the leadership of his wife, a king who failed in the nation of God, King Ahab, a king whose one foot was in the church and another foot was in the world. He wanted to listen to what God was saying, but at the same time, he was a king who listened mostly to what his wife said. A king who proven to be a failure, but a king who had a great privilege of seeing the great, mighty power of God at work through the work of the prophet Elijah. But just like every other pagan out there, this king never appreciated God, and he never appreciated the people of God, the spokesman of God, the prophet of God. Actually, we are told here, when you read back in chapter number 18, that this king began to hate the prophet of God, and when he met the prophet of God, he called the prophet of God a man who caused Israel so much trouble. But when you read the text, the scripture, there is no trouble that the prophet actually caused. But the king named this prophet a man who caused Israel great trouble. Is it not the same where we are today? Some people call us as the church who caused trouble. But then you ask, what trouble have we done? We have heard these words. You can hear such words if you're going on to pursue, let me put it that way, if you go and pursue evangelical approach and you preach the word of God to people, even at work or at school, you might be named the person who caused trouble. That is what the prophet suffered. He suffered for doing the will of God. But, friends, this prophet was never worried about what the king said. He was never worried how he was called, how he was named. But this man resolved to continue doing the work of the Lord in his own generation. That is very important. Continuing to do the work of God in his own generation. What did he do? He went out. He preached the gospel. He called the rebellious people of Israel into repentance. That is what was his calling. Calling rebellious people to repent, to come to God in fear and trembling. He continued to do so. But the people, stiff-necked people of Israel, they continued to reject God. They continued to reject the word of God, the word that came from the prophet. The people continued in their rebellion towards God as the king led them. Because if you read in the book of Kings, the kings actually were leading the people into disobedience. But actually, when you lead people into disobedience, they follow easy, because in their heart, in the bottom of people's heart, there is rebellion. So if you come to lead them to rebellion, they rebel very easy. You can see that in church, you can see that in politics. Rebellion is easy. The kings led the people to rebel against God, and the people continued to worship idols and false gods. And we shall see next week, God willingly, what happened when people worship idols and false gods. They continued so. But the prophet Elijah, he determined to show the people how great God is. He determined to show the people that God has no match. God has no equal. He called the people to a mountain, whereby he challenged the false prophets of Baal into a contest of power display. He challenged them. Let us see today whose God is a powerful God. And the Bible tells us that Elijah won the contest. Elijah won the contest, and afterwards he slain the prophets of Baal. Elijah displayed the power of God. Please notice, it was not his own power that he displayed, but the power of God, the sovereignty of God over all creation, the sovereignty of God over false prophets as well. They cannot stand the power of God. Elijah displayed it, and the people saw it, but still the people will not believe. in chapter number 18, we are told that there were 450 prophets of Baal against one prophet of God. There can be so many false prophets against one prophet of God, but God was with his prophets. The Bible says Elijah then slain the prophet of Baal. Please notice those words. He slain the prophet of Baal. Because there are consequences when you do things like that. When you go out and slain the prophets of Baal, or when you go out and preach against the prophets of Baal, there are consequences. And we're going to see these consequences. Elijah slain the prophet of Baal. In other words, God was victorious in that day. Elijah leaped with joy, as it were, seeing the prophets of Baal defeated, seeing that the word of God, all of a sudden, it will go throughout the world without destruction. He was anticipating that great revival that was going to take place. Yet that joy did not last for very long. There was a woman. Her name was Jezebel. The woman who was the king's wife. The woman who hated everything that had to do with God. The woman who hated God himself. A woman who caused so much trouble, even to the point of killing prophets and all those who belonged and believed the message of God. A woman so fearsome that even her husband feared him, the king of Judah. A woman feared by a king, a great enemy of the people of God. There was a woman. After this great victory, there was a woman. There was an enemy. A woman who only loved what God hated. A woman who loved the prophets of Baal. A woman who terrorized the church throughout the history of the church, even today, according to Revelation chapter number 2, verse 20. That this woman continues to terrorize the church. She calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servant to practice immorality. It means that even today there is a Jezebel who's only popular by deceiving and threatening the servants of God. He stole the joy of the servants of God. When Jezebel heard, the Bible tells us when she heard that the contest was won and Elijah slaughtered the prophets of Baal afterwards, she was enraged. She was furious. She was fuming with anger. But what happened? How did Jezebel hear? The Bible says in verse 1 to 3, King Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done. But please notice as you read there, it says then, she started to swear or make a threat, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of the one of them by this time tomorrow. In other words, this is Aushona now. That is in one of the language. Some people say that. Make sure that the sun does not go down tomorrow because it's going down with you for what you have done. This is Jezebel, a threatening voice, a terrifying voice of the enemy, speaking to a servant of God who was just victorious 5 seconds ago. Now he's threatened by this voice. Listen when what the word of God says. It says, then he was afraid. In verses 1 to 3. The servant of God was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life. Church, the prophet of God did not overcome the voice of Jezebel. The prophet of God could not overcome the voice of Jezebel. The prophet of God could stand against 450 prophets of Baal. The prophet of God could stand against the king and tell the king, I will preach the good news. The prophet of God could stand against these rebellious people of the time and call them to repentance. Thousands and thousands and thousands he could stand. The prophet of God could pray for rain which did not drop a single drop for 3 years and it rained. He could do it. But he could not stand against a voice of a woman. he could not stand against the voice of Jezebel. So it did not matter that he had just had victory not long ago, but the words of Jezebel terrified him. He became so discouraged and forsook God's work. He started to run, and he ran away for his life. He didn't run towards God, but he ran away from God, away from the one who called him. He ran away. And one thing that I need to mention to you, friends, the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon this man. The people were running from this ministry. The Spirit of God was upon this man. If you read chapter 18, verse 46. It says there, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. The hand of God, the Spirit of God, encouraged this man, helped this man to stand against the prophets of Baal. But when the voice of Jezebel came, he was terrified and prayed to die. He ran 27 kilometers because of hearing a voice of a woman scared him to death. The prophet considered his life so precious than to stand up for God in a godless situation that was before him. He considered his life to be precious. Because, friends, what I think is, when the prophet was fighting against the prophets of Baal, he realized that it was not him fighting against the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal had not challenged Elijah, but they had challenged God. So he could stand there with great courage because his life was not threatened. Because losing that contest, no one was going to kill him. He stood there and he preached. He stood there and he displayed power. Because there it needed God to stand. But when things became personal, he forgot that he had a God in his life. Fighting a personal battle, according to him, needed his own personal strength. But I want to tell you, church, there is never a personal battle for a child of God. Every battle is not of yours. It is a battle that belongs to God. Is it not what 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15 says? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great crowd. Do not be dismayed at your enemy, for the battle is not yours but God's. The battle always belongs to God. Here's something that I need to warn you as we move on here. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. What you hear can change your life. That is why it is important to know, it is important to make sure what you are listening to. Who is it that you lend your ear unto? Who is it that is speaking in your life? It is very important. Words can change your life. Words traumatize, and words can release from trauma. That is what we see in this life of the prophet. And I want you to realize that we hear many voices each and every day. That is why I started by saying those voices can torment you. And here is a voice tormenting the prophet of God. And please notice, it is not uncommon that when a Christian or a church or a man of God has just had victory, then he starts running for his life because of the next challenge. It is not uncommon that a church can stand for 5 years against the torture and the torments of a particular place, but one little voice may come and everybody is scared for life and they start running from the purpose, from the call in which God has called them. Because, church, one thing we need to learn: there are temporal troubles in this world. There are temporal troubles in this world, but these temporal troubles can cause spiritual distress. And that is what we see here. they cause so much spiritual distress to the point that you wish, or the man of God wished to die. That's what you see in verse number 4 where we read. He prayed that the Lord may take his life away. He says, enough, enough, O God. What happened? He just heard a voice. Enough what? Can somebody tell us what happened? Enough. What? Because he has taken the battle of God and made it his own personal battle. Then you will cry out, enough, O God. And this is possible for us, friends. As I was mentioning, we are threatened in this place. Our tent was burnt. Our roof now, our new one, has been taken away. Their voices, if Abaraz can tell you what the people are saying, you wouldn't like it. Their voices, but we have a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to hear the voice and run? Or are we going to stand for God in a godless situation? Are we going to hear the voice of Jezebel and forget the goodness of God? Are we going to hear the voice of Jezebel and forget the greatness of God in times of distress? That is the question that we need to ask. The prophet of God allowed threats to consume his heart. He began to run away from God's purpose to his own purpose. Is that what we're going to do? So church, when the threatening voice of Jezebel comes, we need to stand our ground. We need to know the God who has called us. We need to know him who has saved us even in harder times than the time that we are at the time. Because the voice of Jezebel is always there. The voice of Jezebel, friends, is there especially when you pursue or when you want to do God's will. When you purpose to obey God, it doesn't matter where. But when you purpose to obey God, the voice of Jezebel is there. You want to obey God in your marriage? The voice of Jezebel is there. You want to obey God at work? The voice of Jezebel is there. We need to overcome the voice of Jezebel. Why is the voice of Jezebel always there? Because the enemy is always there to oppose the will of God. And he has his own agents who speaks for him to discourage you. But it is just a voice. But secondly, I want us to look at the destructive inner voice of fear. Because not only is the voice, the outward voice that you hear, that threatens, but there's also an inward destructive voice of fear. That's what you see in verse number 4 in other verses. That the prophet of God said, or the Bible says, Elijah went a day journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Do you realize, not only now is the voice of Jezebel, the man is speaking to himself as well. While he was running, he had so much to contemplate, he had so much to deal with in his own little mind. While he was running, he was talking to himself. And I want to tell you, church, you talk to yourself more than you talk to anybody out there. That is why it is important to speak right when you speak to yourself as well. You speak many words to yourself than you speak to your spouse. Sometimes you think a paragraph of words, but you say just two words to somebody. Because you speak much to yourself than you speak to someone else. This prophet began to speak so much to himself when he heard the voice. But the Bible tells us when he heard this voice, he fled to a cave. But before he got to a cave, he sat under a broom tree. Two places. So he's ready to run and never to go back. But I'm more interested at him sitting in that cave. Because there are so many caves, humanly speaking, that people hide themselves in. Here's a man of God hiding himself in a cave, speaking to himself. Personal anxiety consuming him. He's now worried. There's a burden that is laid upon his heart. Fear has consumed his heart.
Fear caused depression, and depression caused spiritual blindness.
That is why I think the Bible says you must cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for He cares. But this man cast all the burdens upon himself. He forgot the God who called him. His own voice became his enemy. His inner thoughts began to chase him. They chased him further than the purpose of God. He spoke death to himself than speaking life. He began to pray, but he prayed wrong. He began to pray for death instead of praying for life. He prayed against the will of God. And I can tell you, friends, that is what anxiety and frustration do. You begin to pray against the will of God. You wish you could die, but your time is not up. That is what you're going to see here. He prayed against the will of God, wishing he could die. But what we see here is that God was not done with him. So we must not think that when we think we are done, when we think this is enough, God is done. God is not done. You might think you're done, but God is not done. Here is God coming to this man. And we shall observe some of the things that God said to him later on. But here is God coming to this man who thinks he's done, who thinks enough is enough. God says, stand up, be strengthened. I'm not done with you. The journey is long. Do not listen to your own frustration. Do not listen to depression. I have a purpose for you. I want to send you to where I have called you to go. And church, like I was saying, I don't want to use wrong words, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say when I say there is power in the words that you speak to yourself. It is important to speak to yourself, but you must speak spiritual words than discouragement to yourself. This is not that system of the charismatics out there that you must speak life. That's not what I'm talking about. This is not speaking life. This is meditating good things. That is why the Bible says, blessed is the man who meditates on these good things day and night. He meditates on the word of God. But listen to the psalmist himself, speaking to himself. The psalmist is telling his own soul to do something, speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's not talking to anybody else. He's talking to himself. You must talk to yourself. Within yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul. Within yourself, run to God, O my soul. Do not run away from him. This man did not speak words of wisdom to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with great joy or with righteousness. One song that we used to sing, a beautiful song, says, tell out my soul. In other words, speak loud, O my soul. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Let there be a voice within me that speaks good of God. Tender to me the promises of his word. That is what we need to do. Reminding ourselves of the greatness of God. Never to allow our inner voice of fear to add to our discouragement. Because we are a discouraged people, whether we like it or not. But let not the inner voice add to your discouragement. The prophet allowed depression to overcome him. He allowed this depression to sink his heart deep and deep, almost to rise no more. He allowed those deep and sensitive conversations within himself to give him a false perspective of life, thinking that he's the only one left. That's the false perspective of life, thinking you are the only one. God only depends on you.
if you run away, God has nobody else. He had a false perspective of life. Those conversations, unfortunately, kept him in a cave rather than outside the cave. It was speaking to himself that caused him to go in a cave. It was no longer the voice of Jezebel. The voice of Jezebel caused him to run. But it was not the voice of Jezebel that said, go under a broom tree. It was not the voice of Jezebel that says, say to God, enough is enough. It was not the voice of Jezebel that caused him to go into a cave. His own inner voice, speaking words of death to himself than life. Oh, friends. Not only guard against the enemy. I think we are good at that. Humanly speaking, we guard against the enemy. But here's the thing. You can be your own enemy because of fear. If you guard only against the enemy and forget about yourself. You forget that God is always with his people. He said he will never leave nor forsake you. God will always come in to help you and save you from the power of your enemies. God will sustain you in the times of depression. That is what we forget. And then we see that the prophet forgot that. And then the Lord in verses 5 to 6 tells us in his word that he sent an angel. And an angel began to bring encouragement to this man. An angel is a messenger. So he had to get a message of encouragement. Stand up, eat, for the journey is long. Stand up, eat, God is not done. Stand up, stand your ground. The problem with the inner voice is that, as we are seeing here in the life of Elijah, the inner voice keeps you distressed. It keeps you scared even when the enemy is long gone. There is no mentioning of Jezebel from verse 2 till verse 18 when we read. Only in verse 1. But throughout this journey, 27 kilometers, no Jezebel. But the man of God is running away. Because the inner voice can scare you and torment you more than the enemy can do. When the enemy is long gone, you're still terrified. That is why then the angel of the Lord tried to strengthen Elijah and gave him something to eat. Because this man had gone into a cave. What does that mean? He had gone to a place which God has not sent him. The inner voice kept him in cave. But there's something else that I want you to notice as we are going through before we get to our third point. Something very important to notice here. When people are scared, and when people are running away from God's purpose, when the church, in other words, stop being a functional church, when the church stop evangelizing people and speaking to the lost about their lostlessness, normally the church has got an excuse why they're doing it. There's so many excuses that people bring why they're not doing the will of God. We find an excuse here. Here is an excuse why Elijah is running away from God's purpose. He's got an excuse. Listen. He repeats this twice, but in verse 9. It says in verse 9. I have been jealous, very jealous for the Lord God, the God of hosts. Why? For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. In other words, this man claimed to have been worried because the people do not love God anymore. He says the people have thrown down your altars, they've broken your covenants. In other words, where I am, nobody wants you, God. Where I am, nobody wants to listen to anything that comes from God. Where I am, you can come with power display and consume the prophets of Baal. But people will continue with the prophets of Baal. I am tired. I am running away from this place. Nobody wants God here.
That is his excuse. He didn't want to say, but I'm also terrified by a woman, which is true, but he blames someone else. The prophet of God is not looking at his own inner weakness. Sometimes you must evaluate and look at your own weakness as a person and pray about it. He points to someone else. The people don't want you. I'm leaving. Is that not the same with many of us? My family doesn't want anything to do with God. I'm out of here. My wife doesn't want to repent. I'm out of this marriage. My husband doesn't want to repent. He is the cause of all my spiritual and emotional distress. If it was not him, maybe I'll be a Sunday school teacher. But he torments me so much. I'm out of this marriage. Maybe if I get someone else who loves God like me, then together we'll lift up the name of the Lord and all men will turn to God. Pointing at someone else, forgetting your own inner weakness. That is what he's doing. He claims he's the one. Now sometimes it's true that as preachers we sometimes see the sins of our people and blame that on ourselves sometimes and look at it as our own failure. You know, imagine you have a church of 50 members. I'm making an example. And you've been running this church for 5 years, 6 years, and there's two people who are saved. It's easy to blame yourself. I'm making an example. Sometimes preachers blame themselves for things they cannot control. But sometimes, as Christians, we blame ourselves for the things we cannot control. You cannot control the salvation of your family. You cannot control the salvation of your husband or your wife. This man blames a people for breaking God's covenant. Has he not broken God's covenant? Is he not running away from his calling? He is. But he has not seen that as a big problem. That is why he listened to his own voice of inner fear, the destructive inner voice of fear. That's the voice that helped him to blame others for the things he cannot control. He blamed himself for the nation's rebellion, but not only that, he mentions there that he's the only one standing. In other words, he's actually afraid of death. We are called to die. We may not like it that way. We are called to die. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have killed me, they will kill you. He says, I am the only one alive. They have killed everybody. Fear has caused him to believe his own lie. Why am I saying so? He has been taught, if you read the scripture in chapter number 18, by the prophet Obadiah, he has been told that Obadiah himself has kept so many prophets hiding in the caves. Not everybody is dead. God still has a people calling upon his name. Before even God tells him of the 7,000 people that God's going to keep, he has been told already. He has a message in his mind of God's goodness, God's greatness. They are people of God. We are not the only one. The inner voice of fear tormented his mind and he forgot the truth. He forgot all that he has been taught before. That is possible. All the things we have went through for 5 years, you just forget it at the end of the day. That is what happened to this prophet. The inner voice reminded him of the killing of the prophets. The killing of those who stand for the truth. The rejecting of those who stand for the name of the Lord in the midst of a rebellious nation. Then he filled himself and he filled his mind with negativity. He kept telling himself that he's the only one. He kept telling himself that he's a lone survivor. God perhaps depend only on him. God must spare his life perhaps. He's the only one. And all those kind of thinking and talking between the heart and the mind kept him in the cave. Kept him away from his calling. Because God had called him to proclaim the good news in the midst of this godless generation. So this man had escaped Jezebel's voice, but he could not escape his own voice. You can escape the enemy, but you cannot escape your own conscience when he tells you what is right and what is wrong. That is why the Bible says, if your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience. He could not escape his conscience. Who can escape his conscience? You can escape the enemy. But one more thing. You can run, but you can never hide. He's hiding in a cave. Guess who find him? The one who called him, find him. God himself. So, there's a threatening voice of Jezebel. There's an inner destructive voice of fear. All those things. The one keeps you running away from God's purpose. The other one locks you in a cave whereby you forget your own purpose and your calling. But there is another voice, the comforting voice of God. The third point, the comforting voice of God. And here, I want us to look at this voice, because this is the voice we need to obey. And I want to go quick. I'm running out of time. The voice of God, the voice to obey. And there are three statements which comes from God that I want us to look at in verse 5, verse 9, and verse 15. That is where you find this comforting voice of God. The first thing is God's comforting voice through his angel. In verse number 5, we hear God's voice through his angel. We have God here displaying tender care, and he displays love for his servant. Why do we say that? We see God coming from heaven, as it were. I know it is an angel, but the angel is sent by God, coming from heaven, as it were, to send a message. Why? Because a discouraged person needs a message from God, not a message from the world. That is why we refuse to preach a message of the world in the world, in the house of God. Because the message of this world cannot bring encouragement to discourage people. It may tinkle your ears for 5 seconds, but it does not last for very long. Here comes a messenger. An angel is a messenger. We need messengers to bring good news of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring great news. Here is a messenger bringing a great news. We need that kind of messengers, which is the word of God and his servant preaching to us each and every Sunday. But also those who are discouraged out there need your voice, your words from God to give them real encouragement. He gets encouragement from an angel. It says, and behold, the angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. These are words spoken. He hears. Arise, eat. In other words, arise and be strong. The journey is still long. That's what the angel says. You are not done. So not only did God see an escaping, threatened man, but God saw a troubled soul. A troubled soul longing to die. He saw a stressful man who needed some stress relief. But there was no doctor to be found for his stress to be relieved. Only the word of God that came from an angel. Because this man was stressful. Why? Because he was laboring, or he labored in the midst of hell, as it were, in his own generation. You need to be encouraged by God in the midst of hell in your own generation. God reached out to him. But it's a blessing to see that God knew where to find this man. Jezebel didn't know where to find him. The threatening voice that he escaped from didn't know where to find him. His own voice that was with him could not help him. But God knew where to find his servant. No servant of God, no church of God can run from God where God cannot find you. God will find you, and you will do his will. Screaming and kicking, but you will do his will. God found him and set him on that journey. God spoke life to him when he spoke defeat to himself. God spoke sense to him when he spoke nonsense to himself. Because the God who speaks and he speaks life. He's the God who takes away confusion. He's the God who takes away discouragement and bring encouragement and fills you with great strength. He spoke through his angel. He comforted this prophet and gave him a message. And I can tell you even today, he's doing the same, giving you a message from his messenger. But the next thing that you see is God's comforting voice through his own spirit. God now is not using an angel in verse number 9. We hear God in verse number 9 speaking to the heart of the prophet by his spirit. It says in verse 9, there he came to a cave and lodged in, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, he's no longer saying the angel of God. Now the word of the Lord spoke and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? This is a great question. It's the same as the question that came to Adam. Remember, Adam, where are you? In other words, Adam, what are you doing wherever you are? It can come to you. What are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing where you are right now? Maybe you've ran away from God's purpose. The question is, what are you doing there? Is that your calling? Is that what the church has been called to do? What are you doing there? Is God speaking to this prophet by his spirit, speaking direct to his heart? What are you doing there? Ask yourself, what are you doing there? Wherever you are, what are you doing? Are you doing the purpose of God? Are you following the statutes of God where you are? What are you doing there? That is the question. The question in the cave, a very important question, is the voice of God. The God who goes out and seeks those who are lost or that which is lost. But then, let me jump quickly. God's comforting voice, the third one, God's comforting voice of prophecy. What I mean by that, God's comforting voice of future victory. That's what you see in verse 15. God speaks great words of promise. In verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And then he tells him he will anoint another one to be king of Judah, and then Elisha to be the key, to be the prophet before the prophet will take over him. But I want you to notice here, these great words of promise. Elijah is not going to die. God says, arise and return. He will return to his way. He will return to his way because God is not done. No one can get where he's going, friends, before he can hear that he must go somewhere. Now this man is being told again, go somewhere. We have been told when we came to this place of Olivet to go somewhere. Go out and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. We have been told again the very same thing. Go out. Go again. Return. Return. Something new is going to happen. You will anoint two kings. And you will anoint a prophet who will take over you. So in other words, what does this mean? God's work is going to continue as though it never stopped. Regardless of how long you have run, 25, 27 kilometers for nothing, losing your breath and almost losing your life. But God's work will stand. God's purpose will stand until the coming of his son. So return. He promised Elijah that he will arrive. So when he says return, it means you will arrive where I want you to go. But please notice, there is something that you must notice, which must teach you or teach us to pray right. Remember, this prophet of God prayed to die, and God did not answer his prayer at the time and say, he just said, arise, you will go and do this and you do this. But there is a sense whereby God is answering his prayer here. Be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you pray for. He says, you will anoint Elijah who will replace you. If a prophet is replaced, ask Baba Raj. He does not take pension and sit at home. He goes to heaven. This man is going to die. because he prayed for death. But you will not die when you want to die. You will not die when you think it's time for you to die. It's my time to give up. You will die in God's time. He will die in God's time. He will be replaced. God is going to be victorious. Whether you are there or you are not there. That is the message. You are there or you are not there. God will be victorious. The prayer is, may I be there, O God, to see it. If I'm not there, O God, may I be taken to be in a place where one day I will also shout with great voice with the multitude, our Lord reigns. The comforting voice of God comes through a messenger. One, the comforting voice of God comes by His Spirit. You need the Spirit of God within your heart. The comforting voice of God comes through prophecy. And today, the last prophecy we have is the Word of God. It says, long ago, God spoke through prophets, but this day He has spoken through His Son. And this Word is His Son. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? The voice of Jesus continues to say, be strong, be courageous. The voice of Jesus continues to say, do not listen to any other voice, listen to the voice of God. The voice of Jesus continues to say, go out, return to your mission, regardless of how it looks like. You've got a great mission, a great commission to pursue. Go throughout the whole world and make me disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. But there's also another great promise here. I like this promise. Just to prove that God is going to be victorious, God says He has spared 7,000 Israelites, faithful Israelites, who did not bow the knee to Baal, who did not confess Baal as Lord. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of such great torments, we may forget that God is faithful. This shows the faithfulness of God. He has spared 7,000 faithful Israelites, faithful believers. We may not know them, we may not see them, but our job is to go out, preach unto them, and they will come to be one fold, one Lord, one King that will rule them. And we will all rejoice together because God is faithful. One last thing as I come to conclusion. The prophet charged these people of Israel with apostasy. That the prophet telling God that these people has destroyed God's covenant. He's charging them with apostasy. But what does God do? God brings a message of forgiveness. God brings a message of forgiveness. I have spared 7,000 Israelites. What is that to do with you? God has spared you, but you are not perfect. You need the Word of God to make you perfect day by day, to remind you that God spared you, not because of your own power. It says here, God spared 7,000. Not that 7,000 Israelites spared themselves. Notice, God spared 7,000 faithful Israel. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The only way to be encouraged in discouraging moments is to learn to listen to the comforting voice of God. He alone can give you strength. He alone can set you free from the bondage and from the voices of this world. He alone can promise and give you victory for those promises. God will strengthen and sustain His people. Only God will do that. God will preserve you from your own anxiety. God alone can take you by your hand and walk with you side by side with Him and set you free. Then you'll be free indeed. God alone will speak to His people even when they are tempted to listen to the threatening voice and the destructive voice of this world. But God still speaks to His people regardless of those voices. They are voices, but God speaks a greater voice. Go return. God speaks a greater voice. Arise and eat. God speak a greater voice. I will be victorious and I will be vindicated. God always promises victory and He gives victory. So let faith sustain us, church. Let faith sustain us. Let us look upon God who alone is in heaven. Let us look upon God who alone sits at the circle of the earth and He rules this earth. And He alone can provide for us. Let us be careful. We can be heroes of faith today and also be heroes of discouragement the next day. Elijah was a hero, slaying the prophets of Baal. 5 seconds later, he was running away from the voice of a woman because he did not heed the word of God in his heart. Blessed is he who will hide the word of God in his heart. So let us not run away from our responsibilities and blame those who are outside there. Let us not also be those who want to hide. There are people who are hiding. Some are hiding in better churches than this. Some are hiding in suburban churches just because it is tough in the township. Church, we are not going to hide and let the gospel suffer ridicule as it suffers ridicule today. Let us remember the Lord Jesus Christ who was threatened beyond comprehension. The Lord Jesus Christ who heard voices of this world telling him, "You are not the Son of God," telling him, "If you die, it will be impossible for you to raise yourself from the dead." But he heard one voice, and he kept that voice, the voice which came from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased." God was pleased with him, and is pleased with us today if we listen to the voice of Jesus. Let there be no Jezebel that steal your joy. Let there be no inner voice of depression that steal your joy. Learn to listen to the voice of God, and He alone will set you to the path of righteousness. May the good Lord bless us, and let us be encouraged, even in the midst of persecution. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our King, we are thankful. You are a great God. You encourage the discouraged. You give joy where there is no joy. You give strength where there is no strength. You wipe away our tears. You are the one who takes us out of the cave where we are hiding and set us in your marvelous light. You are the one who gives promises and reminds us to return to our duty, which is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Strengthen your people even this morning. Give us great joy in knowing that you are a victorious God. Your purpose will never be discouraged by the things of this world. Help us to learn to hear the voice of God, the comforting voice of God in the midst of threatening voices and destructive voices of the enemy. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say amen. The good Lord bless you all. I will meet again, God willingly, next week.